in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
So we can go years without coming to the studio, doing our own thing.
Yes.
And now we're back 2 weeks in a row.
Back to back is what the Bucks are trying to do, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's playoff time, baby.
It is playoff time. Excited, but I have, I don't believe in karma. Okay. I don't believe in
reincarnation.
Well, I definitely don't believe in that. If I'm going to come back as like a car seat or, you know, what's the thing you put on the steering wheel, like one of those things?
I think you're going to come back as the dog because that thing was angry when you walked in the door.
Dogs don't like me.
Because you came back and that's probably what you'll be.
So I came back as a human. I was once a dog.
Possibly.
Is that what you're saying?
But if you come back as a dog, you'll be an angry dog. A grumpy dog.
I hope not.
A grumpy dog.
I hope not.
If you could be anything when you came back, what would you be?
A human?
No, you already got that.
You can't do the same thing again?
No, you can't do the same thing. Got to pick something different. What would you come back as, like a butterfly? It's got to be an animal, right?
I don't know what else to. I don't want to come back as a plant.
Yeah, because that'd die too. Like a rock.
Why are you making me so depressed?
No, I'm just saying.
If you come back, you're going to come back as something that's going to die.
But would you? Well, people give flowers at funerals and then it's like, oh, those die too. Like, you got to give artificial flowers.
No, that's true. I brought some artificial stuff back from England when I went to a UFC over there.
Okay.
Little artificial rosebuds or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's kick off the show the way we like doing it.
Okay.
A lot of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about the Bucks. I have some stories to talk about. NFL weekend, what happened the other night still. But first and foremost, let's go back out to Las Vegas. It's been a long couple weeks. It used to be 3 months in between fights. Now it's weekly, and after 2 or 3 weeks, everybody's jonesing for this weekend. So let's head out to Las Vegas as we get ready for UFC on ESPN and welcome Brian Kelleher. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We appreciate your time. How's things going? I know that Fight Week literally just started about, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for a couple of days now, but, it's exciting to have fights back. And like you said, it's been a little bit of a break, so... people have been, excited and anticipating this new year to start off good. So I'm happy to start it off and be the first, one of the first people to fight for the UFC this year.
Doesn't it sound crazy? And I kind of mentioned it that, you're way too young to remember early UFC where it was like every 3 months, every 4 months. And then it got to a point where that we loved every weekend. And now people are like, God, it's been so long. It's only been 3 weeks. I mean, that's not too long to wait. But you're right. We are ready to kick it back off on Saturday.
Yeah, I think we're spoiled. We get so many fights every week and sometimes even other promotions. So there's a lot of fights to watch. But, that's what it is. Once there's a couple of weeks off, people are like, yeah, it feels like a couple of months,
For sure. For sure. Now, I don't know if you've already done the Wednesday ritual of signing the posters. And I'm just curious, and I've been in the room numerous times when they get signed. Do you go to the same spot on the poster every time? And if so, what determines what spot on the poster you're going to?
It's funny you ask that because I actually thought that as I sat down to sign the posters yesterday, actually, I signed them. And I do. I sign them in the same spot just due to comfort. It's like where my hand lays on the poster from where the seat is, that's where I'm signing.
I thought of this not too long ago, that it would be cool, to get with a fighter or a couple fighters or whatever, and we do this promotion where of the 300 or X that you sign, I don't know what the number is anymore, you move just one, and then whoever ends up buying that, would win some kind of award. But the only problem is we wouldn't know if that would go to one of the fighters or if it would go for sale or if it would go to the website. We wouldn't know where it would end up.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fun, you know, to do something like that. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if they would do that or leave one poster out. They have a certain... There was a lot of posters this time. I think I signed, like, over 300. It seemed like more than last time for some reason. But it was a cool poster.
So Brian, I'm sure you've seen the Conor McGregor where he just scribbles, you know, each one. Like, do you actually take time to make it legible? Do you... Because, you know, so many times I get an autograph, like a baseball, and years later I'm like, well, who'd this come from? Like, so do you actually take the time to spell out the name, or is it a signature, like...
But that, if image? That's his signature, that's a signature.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know what? Signatures are very controversial, you know, because you can kind of scribble a line and that's your signature, but then you can scribble the same line and that's yours. But, like, for me, I keep it simple and I keep it, you know, where you can actually tell it's me. I just kind of scribble boom on there. So I write, you know, it's hard to do boom in script, but I kind of do like a script boom.
Very script cool. Boom. Now, do you collect memorabilia? Do you have anything autographed? Is there something in the realm of memorabilia you'd like to end up with at some point?
Well, I'm a huge hockey fan. I'm an Islanders fan back from Long Island. So I have a puck signed by one of their full teams, like I think early 90s or something. It's an old puck, but I have that signed. I have a Boston Bruins puck signed. I have like all the old posters from the UFC, which is really cool because that's like nostalgic. So I have all those hanging up in my garage and my gym. So yeah, I mean, that's about it.
This is a scary question. I'm going to ask him that.
I'll get it.
When you say early UFC poster, what number are you talking about?
What's that, early UFC?
Yeah, what's early to you?
You said you have some early UFC posters, and I'm just curious, what's an early UFC poster to you?
No. For me, I have all the posters of the cards that I fought on.
Okay.
So I was saying, yeah, I just have those. But for the pucks, the ice hockey pucks that I have signed, I think those are from, like, maybe the Islanders, like, 90s team.
I got you. I got you.
So going back to the UFC question, like what era of the UFC... If you had to collect posters, which era would you want? The original, like the number one?
Well, one sweet.
Or like 50 or like 100? What era did you really join in and like that's what really attracted you to the sport?
Well, I was like 18, 19 when I got really into it, started watching it a lot. And I would say like the BJ Penn, Matt Hughes, Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, like that era. That's when I was like just getting involved and really excited about the sport. Kind of just being introduced to it.
And have you had the opportunity now being in the UFC to talk to any of those guys?
I did fight on one of the same cards as BJ Penn. That was pretty cool. He was in my locker room, and that was surreal because I remember just watching him back in the day fight Sean Sherk and Kenny Florian, all those guys, Diego Sanchez, and just kind of idolizing him as I watched, and then all of a sudden there I am next to him in the locker room. So that was pretty cool.
Let me ask you this, Brian, and I deal a lot in the NFL as well, and I do a weekly player show with the Bucks, and I talked to them about what I'm going to ask you. Did you go over and talk to BJ, or did you know, we're peers, I'm not going to go talk to him? And because I always get on the NFL guys like, no, go up and talk to Tom Brady. Go up and, because next year or 2 years from now, you'll be here, but Tom Brady may not.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of all about timing. Like, for me, when I saw BJ, I shook his hand and just said hello, but I didn't want to try too much because he was fighting also. And,
sure.
You know, I understand the whole preparation aspect of things and the mindset, so you don't really want to, like, bother someone in that scenario, but I didn't really say too much. I did get to meet Joe Rogan after one of my wins, like, January 2020 when I beat Ode Osborne. That was a pretty cool moment because it was just after the fight was done, he was in the hotel, happened to leave a restaurant. I walked by, and, you know, I've always been a huge fan of Joe Rogan podcast. So that was another highlight of my career.
And definitely one of the coolest guys, not just in sports, but period.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get a lot of knowledge and information from his podcast, which is cool. You know, he has a lot of high-level doctors and you know, different category of people that are professionals at what they do. So, it was really cool and surreal to meet him. He was actually with David Goggins, too, and I read his book, so it was like two for one.
So then doctors are learning from Dr. Rogan as well.
Yeah, because he can fix anything. He can fix COVID.
So tell us, what's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
That's a good question. I'm going to try to think back. in the middle of a fight. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I mean, there's been fights where, like, you're going through, you know, you're going through hell in there, and you're kind of talking to yourself, like, what am I doing? But you're also trying to stay focused and stay aggressive and be a killer, you know? But I'm just a normal guy, so sometimes that kicks in. You're just like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
he said truck. He said truck, everybody. He said truck. It's that New York accent. Yeah, he said truck.
And East Coast trucker.
What the freak?
Hey, there you go.
So, Brian, speaking of the East Coast, I just opened up a new restaurant. I should go live in about 2 weeks. I'm a pizza guy, historically, being from Long Island. Where do I got to go when I go to New York, and why? What's the best pizza in town?
Oh, man, you know what? I wish I could tell you, to be honest with you. I'm like, I'm eating clean like 90% of the year, so I'm trying to think of like what's a really good spot. Because once my fight's over, like there's so many different cheat meals to have. And pizza's definitely on there, but there's not like one spot that I always go to. I would say if it's close to me, like real close, it would be Cafe Amici is a really good place. But that's in like the town that I'm from. It'd be probably hard for you to find it.
Well, he'll get on one of those pizza tours. He'll find it. But,
oh, yeah.
But what is a good cheat meal for you? I hate talking food, you know, 2 days before a weigh-in.
A good cheat food. I like bar food, you know, like boneless wings and sweet potato fries and all the different kinds of sauces you can dip it in. Like, that's like, I'm like a flavor guy. So, like, I love sauce and, like, all different kinds of flavors you can dip the fries in to try. But I'm also a sweets guy, so sometimes after my fights, I go home and I get like 3 different boxes of cereal and I mix them all together. I add some like chocolate chips in there. I'll even dump some of those mini Oreos in there, and I get crazy with the cereal.
That's interesting. There was a UFC in Madison Square not too long ago. It seems not too long ago. It's probably years ago. And as I was walking around, there's a restaurant there that's all they sell is cereal.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, there's so many different kinds of cereal, so I just get creative with it, you know? Like I said, I love, like, different flavors, so I'm not opposed to mixing these flavors up and making my own flavor, trying to see if I like it.
I'm curious, Brian, and we are talking to Brian Kelleher, fights this weekend, UFC on ESPN. When you get the phone call from the UFC or your agent or your manager or your trainer, whoever gets that call, what are you looking for, you know, in that call? Is it the name? Is it the background? And I'm sure that your opponents are looking at all of your fight bonuses to get them excited. So what do you look for to get you excited for a fight?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm a realist with it, you know. It really depends on where I'm at in my career at that moment. You know, like, for example, if I'm coming off a win against a bigger name, let's say a guy in the top 15. Now I'm looking at more specific. Okay, I want someone ahead of me. I want to try to break it to the top 10. Right now in my career where I'm at, you know, I'm coming off a win against a newer guy that came off the Contender Series. It doesn't really skyrocket me into a position to call, you know, top 10 guy out or anything like that. So I'm just taking all comers, and it seems like they're throwing these younger guys at me that are newer in the game. And, you know, I'm a veteran, so it kind of gives me a chip on my shoulder. I know that they're trying to kind of test me and see where I'm at. Like, is this guy trying to take Brian's spot, or is he still belong where he is right now and is still moving up? So I kind of like that challenge, you know. This guy's young and hungry, and it's his only second UFC fight, so it gets me up for it, for sure.
From listening to you, I'm going to take it that you're not one of those guys that you're going to call out a guy, I don't know, 3 weight classes above you.
No, not unless it's Jake Paul and I can take a quick couple of mils and get
that. There you go, for sure. I know that we're going to get in trouble if we don't at least talk a little bit about the fight on Saturday. So give me your thoughts on your opponent. What do you know, and does it even matter what you know? Is it more what you're going to do on Saturday and not what he can or will do?
You know, there's things that I know, but it really does come down to just me being me. That's the main focus. You can get wrapped up in all these different things about your opponent and what he's going to do, and he's aggressive, and he does that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of different things. So for me, I focus on myself and execute and just stay focused.
What can the fans expect to see when they tune in for the return after the long, long layover of the UFC? What can they expect to see when you get back in it?
Well, like I was saying, I think I'm like the second fight on the card, so I'm literally like kicking off the year, which is cool. Get in and get out. I like the idea of that as well. Yeah, man, just expect a lot of excitement. You know, don't judge cards by the big names always. I think, you know, a lot of these, you know, different names that people might not know yet, they still perform. They go out there, put it all on the line, and that's what I plan to do to, Saturday.
I cannot wait. We appreciate your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a care package from Odd Sock Official. Go check out their website, and if you can get back to me and let me know which ones you want. If not, they'll just put a really cool package together and send them to you, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra Electronics.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate that. You know, I'll put my trust in you. Whatever you send, I'll rock it. I'm sure it'll be fun.
Well, you just answered it. You just said whatever we send, you'll rock it, and it happens to be my favorite person, real or fictitious, Rocky Balboa, so you're going to have to get some Rocky socks for sure.
Yo, Adrian, let's do it.
There you go. Brian, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You as well. Brian Kelleher gets back at it and gets back at it early, you know, which I would kind of like as well. I mean, yeah, you want to be higher up and you want to be in the main event and the co-main means more money and this, that, the other. I want to go there, get the job, kind of like when we do this radio show. You hang out, you talk, you go on the field after a game. I'm already home.
Yeah, you're done.
I want to do my job and get home.
Yes, sir. Well, then you do your job, then you can go watch the actual main event, main card. You get to be a fan. And be front and center.
Exactly. All right. One segment down. A lot of cool stuff to go. We have and we're going to talk about it. Is it legend or icon is bigger? Whatever is bigger, multiply by two. And that is who will be on the show in the second hour. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Son. We'll be right back.
There's just one little dream I've got to make come true. There's just one lot I've got to win. I can't be wrong.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is BJ Upton from the Tampa Bay Rays. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Have you thought of investing money in the stock market? Well, what's holding you back? Is it the fear of losing your hard-earned money? Don't have the time to babysit your investments? Or are you afraid of the unknown? Well, get ready. We have a proven system that's successfully running for the past 6 years, helping our clients make winning trades with our artificial intelligence-based software. Call now to get in on our free live daily trading sessions as seats are limited. Call 727-597-4377 or visit us at www.sleepandtrade.com.
Futures trading involves risk. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. Go to sleepandtrade.com for our full disclosure.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
You're invited to the 17th Annual Festivals of Speed, Sunday, January 23rd, in downtown St. Petersburg's Vinoy Park. Festivals of Speed showcases over 300 of the world's most exotic and classic cars, with names like Lamborghini, Ferrari, McLaren, and others. Register your car and join the fun. Use code SAVE50 to save 50% off general admission tickets online. For information, visit festivalsofspeed.com. That's festivalsofspeed.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Cozy Coleman, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
So I put a thing on Facebook the other day.
Okay.
And I said, what is the one iconic, and there's more than one, and there's opinions. You know, you say that I don't allow people to have other opinions. Of course I do.
Yeah.
It may be wrong,
according to you.
It's still your opinion.
Right.
So what is the most iconic, not even iconic, what is the first scene in Top Gun that you think of when you think of the Top Gun movie?
I don't know. I don't even think I've seen that movie.
Shut up.
I'm not lying. If I told you, I don't think I've ever watched it.
I guess I can't say you're lying because there's a lot of movies like Godfather and Scarface and all them I've never seen. But the first one that comes to my mind, and yeah, there's plenty, the inverted plane and the birded and you know that, and Goose dying and him throwing the dog tags in the water. I wonder what they'd be worth memorabilia-wise.
Dog tags?
The dog tag. Those dog tags.
It'd be more valuable as an NFT, like a digital print of those dog tags.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure it would.
No, it wouldn't. Then the actual dog tag?
Yeah, for sure.
To me, the first thing that always comes to mind is when they're in the bar, the famous bar scene.
Okay.
And Tom Cruise turns to Goose and says, she's lost that love and feeling. And Goose goes, no, she didn't, Mav. No, she didn't. Oh, no. And then he starts to sing.
Okay.
You've lost that love and feeling. Well, guess what? In the second hour on this very program, I don't get pumped too often.
You don't.
I really don't.
You are getting excited.
I've talked to Jimmy Denning about the Righteous Brothers.
Okay.
Bill Medley will be on the show the next hour.
At 3:30.
Bill Medley, 3:30 Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday when we did the show live. Because again, you know, this gets replayed numerous times.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it gets replayed, it could be four.
Sure.
You know, so the Righteous Brothers, the coolest story. And I don't know if I should tell it or if I should wait to see if Bill's going to tell it.
Okay.
And I could tell it after.
Okay.
But I'm going to say this to him, and then I'll see if he runs with it. I thought his last name was Righteous.
Really?
I always did.
Like, well, all the brothers, like, yeah.
You know, all the handsome, duties are brothers.
Hanson brothers.
The Hansons. Right. Very good.
Warner,
the Carlsons.
The Warner brothers.
Which Hanson brothers are you talking about? Bebop?
Don't call me that. Call me Bebop again. What? I don't know the Hansons.
You said Hansons.
I know the name, but I don't know which members are.
All right.
I know the Doobie Brothers.
Mr. Slow Roller, when you say the Hanson Brothers,
okay,
are you referring to the three brothers who sang Bebop?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the Hanson Brothers from Slapshot?
I don't know either one.
You've never seen Slapshot?
I just know the name Hanson. I don't know what they look like or who they are.
But which Hansons are you talking about?
I don't know.
About?
All of them.
You had to have known either the little kids that was the boy
band. Yeah, they had the long hair and they looked like little
right.
girls. Yeah.
You know, or the Hansons, they would put tinfoil on their gloves and then beat the snot out of the opposing hockey team. You should see, it's
I'm choosing the hockey guys.
You need to watch this. And yes, it's bad because it's like it's late 70s, early 80s movie. But they're like doing warm-ups, skating in circles. And they're looking at each other. Both teams are looking because the Hansons are the goons. And they start this huge, massive brawl before the game even starts. Then they get arrested and they bring toys into the jail cell and they're playing with cars and stuff. That's the Hansons.
Well, those are my kind of guys.
So you need to watch that.
And then the greatest brother of all time is Hogan.
He's not a brother.
Brother, but he used brother all the time.
So, but he uses it.
So Righteous Brothers is one step behind Hogan Brothers.
All right, so here's a dilemma that I have.
Okay.
And I want to talk about some autographs, and I know we only have a couple minutes because then we have to go to break, and we're going to get Chase Sherman on. Autographs.
Yes.
If you get an autograph of Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Do you want it signed by Hulk Hogan or by Terry Bollea? I'm not saying that Terry would sign Terry.
Right.
But do you go with his?
I mean, I think getting Terry to sign Terry is a way more valuable piece because it's so rare and it's not.
Which would you rather have?
You got to go Hulk Hogan.
Okay. Now, my favorite guy living, passed away, real or fictitious, Rocky Balboa. Do you go Rocky Balboa?
Got to go Rocky.
See, I go Stallone.
Would you?
Even though I'm a Rocky Balboa, Rocky Balboa is made up.
Yeah, but it's the role that they played that makes them iconic.
I don't know. I've got a very expensive piece of art, and it's signed Sylvester Stallone.
Really?
Not Rocky Balboa.
Huh.
Also, and I know we have to hit this break, but how come when you go, like Mike Tyson was just in town.
He was.
Pete Rose was just in town. I don't get it. A baseball, I'm going to make up numbers.
Okay.
$139.
Okay.
A basketball, $185.
Okay.
A jersey, $315. This, it's the same autograph.
It's true.
Why are there different charges for different items?
Because it costs more to manufacture the helmet or the jersey.
No. Hold on, rookie. You're not buying the helmet. You're not buying the basketball.
Oh, you're just bringing it.
You're bringing the item to the thing and you're getting it signed. It's the same autograph.
Yeah, but it's on something more valuable. So it's worth more on the open market. Right, if you don't turn around and sell it on eBay, but speaking, what was Tyson doing in town? What was he doing here? Because you know the internet's a savage and the internet's undefeated. And did you see this Christmas one where they put on the Santa cloth is coming to town? It's on a bucket of sanitizing hand wipes. So the internet's a savage. But what was Tyson doing here?
An autograph signing at International Mall. Pete Rose on Friday and Tyson on Saturday.
Wow.
All right, let's go hit a break because I don't want to be late. You know, Chase Sherman, your former BKFC heavyweight champ, fights this weekend UFC, and I don't want him kicking your butt.
Yeah, don't kick mine.
Because it wouldn't be mine. This is Knockout Radio brought by the Righteous Brothers.
Brother.
Brother.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, maniacs! Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. So what you gonna do?
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
This is former WWE wrestler, Tugboat, a.k.a. Typhoon and the Natural Disaster. And have you been to the best gym in downtown St. Pete? If you haven't, there's no better time than now. Suncoast Fitness is locally owned and operated. They have that old school feeling you just don't find anymore. Suncoast Fitness has plenty of cardio, machines, and free weights. It's more than just a gym. It's a family. Stop in and tell Hunter you heard it on the radio and your first workout's free. 33 6th Street South, St. Pete, Florida. Suncoast Fitness. We're just different.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Deacon Jones, and we're talking sports with Randy Harris.
A little more of the Righteous Brothers as we get ready for Bill Medley at the bottom of the next hour. Right now, let's head back out to Las Vegas. I'll be there in a couple weeks. Looking forward to it, to the return. Let's welcome to the show Chase Sherman. Chase, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are y'all doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate the time. I know that it's just the start of fight week. How's things going, and how do you get through another fight week? Is it the consistency of every single fight week's the same, or do you try to change it up a little?
Well, it's going great. We just got out to Vegas. It's nice, cool weather out here. Been down training in South Florida, and so it's been rather warm down there. But no complaints, obviously. You know, it was the middle of January, 75 degrees outside. It's nice. But, yeah, we just got here into Vegas, man, and the energy's good. Finally, they are allowing the fighters to actually leave the site where we're staying, the hotel and stuff, so we don't have to sit in the room and all week and just kind of dwell on the fight. And so get to go, you know, see Vegas and kind of, you know, get our minds off the competition and just stay present in the moment, you know, enjoy like all the benefits of being a fighter, you know.
Well, I need to just jump in real quick because it's obvious that you're not from Florida. As we are, we're based in Tampa, St. Pete, and you said it's nice 75. That's cold weather for us.
Yeah, freezing.
Yeah,
we got socks on our sandals.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm actually wearing shoes. I normally wear flip flops. Yeah. It was too cold to
brutal.
Wear flip flops today.
Brutal out.
I'm actually from South Mississippi. I'm from Biloxi, so about a little hour east of New Orleans. I'm on the Gulf Coast. And so it's not too cold there, but it definitely gets much colder than in, you know, Fort Lauderdale. But the nice thing about that is I get the beach all to myself. You know what I mean? I go to the beach, is 75 degrees, and I'm just chilling in the sun. Ain't nobody around.
Exactly. We would normally laugh at people. We're like, look at these knuckleheads. They're in the water. You know, it's too cold.
Man, not until April.
And everybody's out there doing backstrokes and stuff in the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it down there.
Obviously, you have signed numerous upon numerous fight posters, and I'm always curious. Do you sign in the exact same spot? Do you try to mix it up a little? Or is it just, you know, you're on autopilot, this is where I'm signing?
Yeah, just on autopilot, yeah. Well, no, I'll sign in the same spot, like, on the particular fight card. Now, not every single fight card is always in the same spot, but, yeah, just try to scribble, scrabble, breeze through it.
get through as quick as you can,
scribble,
right?
Scrabble, I love it.
That's right.
All right, I was going to ask you, and I'm going to, about do you collect memorabilia and what do you collect? And I do want to know that. But more importantly, I'm curious, where do you keep your BKFC heavyweight title?
I do try to keep some of my memorabilia, the more important fights, you know, to me. But a lot of it I give away or give to sponsors or things like that, you know, kids that are fans. All my posters I try to keep, even though like five or six of them I freaking left like on site wherever I was fighting. You know what I mean? You want to fight and you're flying out the next day, packing up all your stuff. Sometimes I forget the posters, which kind of is rather upsetting, but you know, but yeah, I keep that stuff. But my BKFC, so I have my BKFC world title belt at my home, and then the Police Gazette world title I keep at the fire station, because during that fight, during that, you know, we got two belts
right.
for that fight. The Police Gazette was the original one, one back, I mean, I think it was like 1890, something like that. I can't really remember the date, but the interesting thing about it is that John L. Sullivan won that belt. It was the first combat sports belt ever won, bare knuckle boxing. I think they won like, I don't know, it was like 60-something rounds in the middle of August. And the belt was won right there in Gulfport, Mississippi, 130-something years ago or something like that. And I was at the fire department for – I worked for Gulfport.
Right.
And I was in the middle of the fire academy whenever I got the call to take that fight. And so it was, you know, my lieutenants and those guys that were helping me get in shape and get prepared for that fight. So, and one of my, actually one of my engineers helped corner me for that fight. And so I left that belt at the fire station.
Very cool. And I'm going to jump in before you do, Matt. Yes, I was at Chase's fight in Mississippi. And no, I was not at J.L. Sullivan's fight, because I know you were going to ask that.
Yeah.
Well, you were media coverage.
That's really cool. That, you know what I mean, 130 some years later, that belt came back to the very
same place.
It was won.
No, no, for sure.
By a Mississippi native, and most people don't know, but that's where fighting was born. That's where boxing was born and created. Was right there. That was the first one, and all those guys hopped. You know, it was supposed to be in New Orleans, but the police found out about it. And so everybody, all like, you know, these rich debutantes and all this stuff, hopped on trains and they snuck over to Mississippi after they switched the location. And I actually have a picture of that news article, and it was like thousands of people standing outside this like makeshift old school boxing rink in this hotel, all people up on the balconies and everything. And I have that fight picture framed, and then right next to it is my picture frame from my fight in the belt. And so it's pretty cool.
Definitely cool. But I thought Biloxi is where they invented those awesome seafood buffets.
Yeah, for sure. They're there as well. But that was listening to do my history on that fight, man. And Jesse James had a $10,000 bounty on his head. He was the most wanted man in the country, and he rode on horseback all the way from Missouri to Biloxi to watch that fight.
Wow.
Yeah, thought that was pretty cool.
So Chase, I'm on your Instagram, and I see your most recent page, your most recent post. Today we've been talking about brothers. You know, we're talking about different groups. Today at 3:30, we have one half of the iconic...
The Righteous Brothers.
The Righteous Brother, Bill Medley, joining us today. But I see your last post was... You know, you're posting for your brothers, the Savage Association, which is a motorcycle gang or club or whatever you call them.
A
group of guys on motorcycles. And as we're talking...
Hold on a second. I want to be Donald Trump. Matt, you're fired.
No, but as we're talking, Ben Roethlisberger popped up on the screen for the football. And do you ever consider like riding motorcycles, like worried about your career if there's an accident or you go down? Do you ever think about it? Or because I know the NFL has clauses and things to prevent athletes from doing risky events.
Yeah, man. But it is risky, but that's kind of, fuck, man, fighting's risky. You know, firefighting's risky. You know, I mean, we're just adrenaline junkies. You know, it was me and a couple of my teammates back home. We rode Harleys and we wanted to start a club. And so my president of the club is actually Brandon Davis, my really good friend, my teammate. He's also in the UFC, but that's what kind of like Savage Association is about, is just like we associate ourselves with, you know, the top dogs, like the adrenaline junkies, you know, some of the baddest people in the world, you know what I mean? Like whether it's on the blacktop or it's on the canvas, you know what I mean? That's who we surround ourselves with, is just savages. And you know, we're a support club for a 1% 1% club, and we ride with those guys, you know, side by side, ass to front, you know, 90 miles an hour, you know, and I love it, man. Those are all my brothers, you know, and it's awesome.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I did this once, and I was wrong. You went to Jones Junior College, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I'd like to do, I don't know why, it's just kind of cool to me, is I'll go on the Wikipedia page, and I look at some of the notable alumni. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but A, we're broadcasting out of Tampa Bay. So one of your alumnus is former Tampa Bay Buccaneer head coach Ray Perkins, also from the Alabama Crimson Tide, as well as Super Bowl MVP Deion Branch. And more recently, he just won the national title on Monday, your quarterback Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I played JUCO ball, and I went and played Division II ball. And, man, I tell you what, man, you already know, I mean, y'all are sports guys, but JUCO ball in Mississippi is the real deal. I mean, you know, that the Netflix show was based off of East Mississippi's JUCO team, Last Chance U. And so we actually played those guys in the playoffs my junior and senior, or my freshman and sophomore year in junior college. But, yeah, it's real big down there. You have some really good athletes come through JUCO ball down there.
Yeah, I don't think JUCO athletes, students, whatever, get the recognition that they deserve, you know, and A, you know that, and hopefully, you know, with Stetson now going on and winning the national title and being the MVP, you know, people that don't stop and think long enough that, you know, there's great athletes that nobody even knows about.
For sure.
You know, they've just never had the opportunity, and sometimes people don't think about that. Speaking of opportunity.
Look at Jerry Rice played at, you know, Mississippi Valley. You know, you talk about Walter Payton played at, you know, Jackson State. You know what I mean? Those are guys that, you know what I mean, that
sure
are like some of the best of the best.
It's just
all school guys.
Yeah, it's just opportunity. And again, opportunity Saturday, you're back in the octagon. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
You know, he's a great opponent, man. He mixes it up really well. He used to fight at middleweight, but ended up moving up to heavyweight. Still moves like a middleweight. I don't know. I won't know till I get in the cage if he still has that. If he has that natural heavyweight power, but he's very active. He's got good cardio. He mixes it up well, and it's going to be a high volume fight. I think it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a tough one, man. But I'm prepared for it.
What's the craziest, funniest, strangest, possibly stupidest, you know, thing that's ever happened either to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
Oh, man, when I was fighting Sam Shoemaker in BKFC, I almost threw a leg kick out of natural instinct. He saw me almost do it, and we kind of, like, laughed it off. I literally almost kicked him in the middle of the fight, not even paying attention, you know. I guess that's probably one of the ones I can think of off the top of my head.
That's definitely good stuff. What can the fans expect Saturday night when you get back in the octagon?
Just a high-volume fight, man. And I think they're going to see me perform at my absolute best. I'm going to go out there and have fun, you know. Like I said, I always tend to put on good fights. I like to fight. Like fights I like to watch, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's how I've always been. I'm number one in the division in significant strikes landed per minute, and number two in the history of the division. And so, you know, it's all gas, no brakes.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Chase, thank you very much for your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as a care package from...
I love those guys.
I heard my producer getting your address, and I'm like, we've talked about 8-Man Strong, so I know that you were involved. Yeah. So we're going to send you another box from them, a box from Odd Sock Official, some of the coolest socks you'll see, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabraw Electronics.
Oh, wow. Thank y'all, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll be sure to take a few photos and tag y'all in them.
Awesome. That'll be outstanding. Thank you very much. Enjoy the week. Relax. And have fun on Saturday.
All right, brother. Y'all take care.
Take care. That's Chase Sherman, your former BKFC champ. He's been in the UFC and doing well. I mean, he's a big banger. I was at the fight.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I predicted he was going to win the title, but I predicted he was going to win the title.
You kind of know a lot.
I don't know about I know a lot. I just know some stuff.
Did you know that Alabama was going to lose the title on Monday?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You knew that 2-3 weeks ago when they were supposed to win 6 weeks ago.
Right.
When it was supposed to be a blowout, you were betting your house.
I was betting
on
the house.
You were a sure bet. You went on here and you were reckless with your predictions.
I did.
And you got embarrassed 6 weeks ago, but then Georgia found a will and a fight. And
I believe it's the fourth time, because they've shown it on the Four Letter Network numerous times, of a rematch. And all four times, the losing team from the first time would come back and win.
Oh.
I thought it would be a closer game, and I thought, honestly, that it was closer than it really should have been once the receiver went down. And let's be honest, the best collegiate football player right now lost his two top offensive weapons.
Yeah.
And as being reported by the network that tends to be wrong more than right, Alabama's already, along with Georgia, the odds on to win it again next year. They had a young team once the top two receivers went down. And if you watched, I kind of fell asleep. I fell asleep and woke up twice and the game was still going on.
Okay.
You know, and I checked the score and then went right back to bed. A couple receivers' balls hitting them in the hands.
Yeah.
And they dropped it.
Players got to make plays.
They got to make plays. They need the experience, and I think they got that. I think Nick Saban handled everything, and I don't know if you saw when the two players, and Young being the main one on one side and the defensive player on the other, and Young taking all the blame. He said, it was my fault, it was this, it was that. Then the two players started to get up to leave, and Nick Saban said, if it's okay, I have something I want to say. And he had them both sit back down, and he talked about the class of the two players and this, that, the other. And, you know, I think Nick Saban gets blasted a lot for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
You know, people hate winners.
True.
They do.
That's why they hate me. That's why you hate me.
No, I hate you just because I know you. That's nothing. See, most people don't know you. I know you.
Sure, that's true.
And you know, like I posted on my Facebook page the other day, hate is okay.
Okay.
It truly is. You know, dislike is okay.
Okay.
Being two-faced is not okay.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
I'm just saying.
The situation?
No,
you didn't elaborate. I want to know.
Well, first of all, I'm ripped over the coals numerous times because I don't elaborate.
Okay.
You know, and
you're very vague.
Well,
you do write vague statements on Facebook all the time.
Well, first of all, it's kind of like Dana White's statement. Now that you know, you know.
Okay.
You know, like he'll do on the chalkboard, and this is my fight of the week, and this and this and this. My thing is, if you know, you know. And if you don't, this isn't directed to you.
Yeah, but that's vague. Can't be vague.
Why can't I be?
You have to explain yourself. It's a new world.
It's my Facebook page.
But I'm offended by the way you leave vague things out there.
Well, this is what makes me me. I don't care if you're offended.
Oh, now I care about that.
Like, I went off on a guy on Facebook. So a guy, and again, he's just running his mouth. I get it. He's talking about any Buccaneer fan who sells their tickets to a Philadelphia Eagle fan for Sunday's game, that he's going to hunt them down.
Ooh, threats.
Here's what I want to do.
Okay.
Here's what I would do.
You want to buy the ticket?
I want to buy tickets next to him and give them. Now, I'll sell them because I'll make more money. To an Eagle fan.
Let's wear Eagle jerseys and go sit next to him.
I would do that before I would wear a Buccaneers jersey at an Eagles game.
Yeah, because the Eagles have the worst fans in all fandom.
They truly do.
They're awful.
Hold on one second. I got a question to ask. And all you got to do is nod. I'm asking behind the board. Is Lola here? Okay. The worst fans are Ohio State fans. I wanted to make sure I could get through the hour. That's
and
all.
It was nice knowing everybody.
So we came here 2 weeks in a row. We will not be back next week.
Yeah.
No, I hate Ohio State fans. You know, they're just as brutal. They're just as boisterous. They're not as violent as Philadelphia fans.
Yeah.
And I can say that because a lot of them are family members.
They throw batteries at John Rocker.
Well, that was in New York.
They booed Santa Claus.
They booed an imposter.
They booed Santa Claus.
They did not boo Santa Claus.
Santa Claus landed at midfield and they booed him.
That's not true. Santa Claus came out of the stands because the Santa Claus that was coming got delayed. So they booed an imposter. Now, they did boo Michael Jack Schmidt.
Oh.
And you should go directly to hell for booing Michael Jack Schmidt.
Why would they boo Michael Schmidt?
Because they're Philadelphia fans.
Didn't he play for them?
Legend or icon, what's bigger?
Oh,
that's Michael Jack Schmidt.
Yeah.
Michael Jack Schmidt was
he was the king of third base.
He was, you know, and it's kind of, you know, going back to when Brian was on, the heyday, you know, the BJ Penn, the Chuck Liddell, you know, the Matt Hughes, all that stuff. Michael Jack Schmidt was just.
BJ Penn's got a fight coming up.
Okay.
It's a political fight.
Yeah, it is.
It's running for governor of Hawaii.
I would love that because I will call him. If he wins and he is the governor of any state or any city or any town or any boat, I will call him and say, I'm coming to hang out.
Oh, he probably doesn't want you there.
I bet you he lets me.
But if you call him, tell him that I open up Tour de Pizza inside of a tennis club. I need tennis balls. I need...
You're the master.
Isn't he part of the Penn family?
Well, his name's BJ Penn.
I get it.
So, yes, he's from the Penn family.
So, I'm from the tennis.
All right. So, Joe Judge finally got fired.
Who?
Joe Judge, who's New York Giants. Thanks for being a sports guy. So, I was watching. Aaron Rodgers was on.
Okay.
A play was sent in. Now, what most people think, and I've said this about fights, you know, like. The fighter who poked the other fighter in the eye and she missed weight. I said, if I was Dana White, I would have gone in between rounds and cut her.
Oh.
Instantly.
Okay.
If I own the New York Football Giants and my head football coach sends in a play, 3rd and 9. It's 3rd and 9.
Okay.
What would you do? What play would you do 3rd and 9?
A slant pass down the middle.
And no matter what you say, I will be okay with.
Slant pass down the middle.
As long as you don't say what Joe Judge called.
What did he call?
A quarterback sneak. 3rd and 9.
Well, you got to catch him off guard.
Like, third and nine.
It's the old element of surprise.
It's the element. So I'm sure they didn't get any yards, but they may get 2 yards.
Okay.
Which will now make 4th and 7 and you're not scoring. So Joe Judge hit the road, Jack.
That's it. He lost his job.
Lost his job.
But you said Bruce Arians doesn't do anything on the sidelines. He has coordinators. They call the plays.
Correct.
They run the defense. He doesn't really do anything except sit in his golf cart and smoke cigars.
Well, I don't think he smokes cigars in the golf cart.
Well,
I've been to practice.
Well, he sits in the golf cart.
I've seen him in the golf cart.
What does he do in the golf cart?
He rides around.
It's the greatest job on earth.
Oh, he does.
But if the head coach of the Giants doesn't call plays.
Do you know that he doesn't call plays?
Who?
Joe Judge.
He doesn't call anything now. I mean,
no, he's calling unemployment.
I got a payphone for him. I got one at the office.
That is cool. I don't know if you want to tell people about it, but
yeah, so, that is cool. So I met a guy who worked for GTE. He was a lineman for many years, and he has an actual brand new inmate phone that's never been used or hooked up. And it's got the receiver, and it's like an electric blue, and it only makes calls out because it's an inmate call. And it would look great in the studio here. We could actually like talk through the glass, through the board, and like you know, put our hand up, like in a emotional, you know,
like the fist bump.
Yeah, like but it's going to be a feature at the new restaurant.
So is the phone at the glass, or is this the phone that the inmate picks up and calls?
I think you can do both with it, but I think this one in particular was for the glass. So like you're sitting across from your family.
Is this
member.
When you call the mistress and say, "Bring me the cake with the nail file inside"?
I don't call anyone and tell them to bring a cake with a nail file to a jail. I don't know who you call.
Or is this where you get the little axe where Dufresne?
That's where you can call home.
Is able to chisel the wall out so he can sneak out of Shawshank Redemption.
You call ET.
Well, no, they don't answer.
Phone home?
You could call Mork. You know who Mork is.
No.
You lived in Denver.
Mork? What is Mork? What's Mork?
You don't know who Mork is.
Is that the Mork
Robin
and Mindy's?
Robin Williams, yeah. Mork and Wendy's.
Yeah, that was
Boulder.
Little,
they lived in Boulder.
That was a little before my time.
Well, but still. You know, you're as bad as my son.
What?
You know, I made a reference to my son. Now, granted, this show was off the air for 30 years before he was born.
Sanford is
But
son.
How do you not know who Fred Sanford is?
Yeah. I mean, would he be allowed to do what he did today in today's episodes?
Don't get me started.
I'm just saying. Was he pretty rough to his wife? Like, wasn't he always threatening to knock her up to the moon or something?
Well, he would always talk to the one that was already in the moon. But yeah, he did say that. He was going to knock somebody to the moon. And, you know, it's interesting because All in the Family wouldn't be around. Archie Bunker wouldn't be around.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Right?
No way. Couldn't have done it.
You know, or how about, what was the old Westerns that Lee Majors was in? You know, none of that stuff would be around, even though you can still see it.
Yeah.
But you know what would be around? I saw it the other day.
What's that?
Batman and Robin. Adam West, Burt Ward. Isn't that his name, Burt Ward?
Why do they only fight crime at night? Like, the crime happens
They had
everywhere.
A real job during the day.
Oh. Yes, that makes sense.
You can't call me in the middle of the day.
And they had to pick up their dry cleaning and get their tights.
As well as they fought crime at night because they wouldn't see the bat signal during the day.
Oh, right.
Because it used to be dark. Right. So I'm getting fired now. Makes sense, yeah. Hopefully I can get an hour out.
You're right. But I don't know. Batman and Robin. What else is out there? Do you see the Beanie Babies are coming back?
Are they really?
Making a movie. A movie about Beanie Babies. So if you're a collector.
I can finally get rid of the old ones I have.
Well, they're going to be valuable again. I mean, they're going to start coming back. What's old is once new again. So let's start digging through the treasure trove and listing them on eBay.
I'm not doing any of that. I ain't got time.
Well, then give them to me. I'll put them in the restaurant.
You're righteous, brother. You're definitely
righteous. Oh, righteous, brother.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go.
And Otis brought us all to the dock of the bay.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Alice Cooper talking with Randy Harris on Talking Sports.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.